Blog Talk Radio.
Guys have been waiting for us, and we are here right now. Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of Christian Talk. Hi, Tasila, how are you today?
Hi, I'm doing very good. I want to say hi to all our friends and family all over the world. Thank you for tuning in at Christian Talk. And I'm sure you're going to be blessed tonight.
Oh, absolutely. And yes, we do appreciate all of our faithful listeners that always tune in to us and tell your friends about us. As a matter of fact, I would like for all of you to pick up your phones or grab your computers to inbox or text a family member, friends, and encourage them to dial in right now. Our number to dial in is 646-668-8537. That's 646-668-8537. Or just click on the picture of T-Mar and Tasila if you're on your computer. You just click on the picture of T-Mar and Tasila or the link wherever you see our post for this particular show if you choose to listen from your computer. And you can listen at any time, even after the show. If you missed the show, you can look for our posts on either one of these, Facebook, LinkedIn, Alignable, Instagram, Tumblr, or Twitter. And just go ahead and click on the link, and you can listen to the entire show from beginning to end. And this is any time after tonight. If it could be next week, whatever. Okay? And soon we will be on The Bridge Gospel Radio on iHeart.com. You can reach us there, and we're going to be opening the doors to other places also. Christian Talk is really growing, and we praise the Lord for that. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. So are you ready for the show today, Sister Tasila?
I can't wait for hear our special guest and see what the Lord has put in his heart for all of us.
Exactly. Well, right now I'm going to play a song. We're going to be back with our special guest, but don't go away. Right now I'm getting ready to play a song that was written by Pastor Tasila. And it's called Healing Fire. Thank you. Yes, that was written by Pastor Tasila for a group called Searchlight, and I was one of the members of that group, and it was a lot of fun recording that. But, you know, I promised that we would come back with our special guest, but wait a minute. I'm hearing something. Hold on. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba- all of our regular listeners know what this means. It means that it's time for a TNT moment. What do we have for today, Pastor Cecilia?
Oh, we have a good one. What is it that makes it so hard for people to trust God? And it's a lot to that one. But I'm going to tell a little story about it first. Once I was stuck on an overpass between the 215 in California, and on the top, it was cars going so fast that my clothes were shaking. And all around me, there was movement, but I had a flat. And so why did I have a flat on the top of the overpass? And I started praying, and I don't know if a lot of people don't realize, but sometimes we could see, God has opened our eyes where we could see in the spirit realm, we could see our angels. But I was praying, and I'm not praying to no angels, so don't start writing us a bunch of letters, because it's not about angels. It's not about us praying. We know better than to pray to any angels. But I could see them, and I said, go tell Jesus I'm stuck on the top of the overpass. I said, seriously, go tell Jesus I'm stuck on the side of the on the top of the overpass. And do you know, before it was like 3 minutes I was up there, and one of those tow trucks came. And I got in the car to call AAA, but the tow truck came so fast, and I said, how did you, I said, did they send you from AAA? He said, no, I got a call. There was a lady stuck on the top of the overpass. It was so fast. It had to be the Lord. But beyond that, God is so good. So many things like that happens to us that builds our trust in the Lord. And so, and Psalm 7:20-7 says, some trust in chariots and others in horses, but we will trust on the name of our God. In the Passion Translation, it says, some find their strength in their weapons and some in their wisdom, but my miracle deliverance can never be won by men. Our boast is in the Lord, our God, who makes us strong and gives us victory. Psalms 143:3 says, we can never look to men for help, no matter who they are. They can't save us. For even our great leaders fail and fall. They too are just mortals who will one day die. At death, the spirits of all depart and their bodies return to the dust. And the day of their death, all their projects and plans are over. But those who trust in the name of the Lord will be happy and pleased. Our help comes from the God of Jacob. If we ever needed the Lord before, I tell you, Pastor T, we sure do need him right now. More than ever.
Right now.
Right now, more than ever. And it's so hard for man to trust God. Why is it? That's what they want to know. Why? And it's because since your birth, they have been trained to lean on others and things.
Yeah.
Other things other than God, rather than God. And it takes a man some time to realize that all God's works are very holy and that the oppressed gets justice with him. The hungry are satisfied with him. He opens up the eyes of the blind and fully restores those that are bent with shame. And God says, I love those who love and honor me. God has something for everybody. Sometimes people think that their situation is so dire and no one can do anything, but God has wisdom to take care of things that you can't even think of. You know, we say this saying in the earth that there's more than one way to skin a cat. A lot of times I say, Lord, show me how you're going to do that because it's beyond me. And I just want to see, how are you going to do it? And he comes up with so many beautiful, unique ways. to take care of things. But how can you trust someone that you don't know? You got to say that, ask yourself that by faith.
Right.
By faith. Without it is impossible to please him. You got to have faith in the Lord. And in Proverbs 3:5 says, we are told to trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Oh, what do you mean when you say, don't lean to my own understanding? I should forget about me? Proverbs 2:1-2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord looks on the heart. So, yes, be willing to put your ways to the side for his. You should forget about, like I said, it's more than one way. When the Lord said, love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that you are to love God above yourself, this is interesting. That putting away of yourself is where you are yielding all your trust to him. When you put him first above yourself. And as Christians, we must die to self. And a lot of times we don't like telling people that because they'll run when you tell them, you give your life to the Lord, you love the Lord. But you got to die to yourself. But the Holy Ghost will teach you that. Now I'm speaking to the true believers, not the pretenders, those that really serve God and that want to be in his perfect will. You do. You have to die to yourself. And God has something very special for those who truly trust in him. And we are pioneers of his love. We are like the captives of his love, all of us that belong to him. And I plead with you, all the people that's listening, that you walk in a way that is suitable to your high rank. God has given everybody something to do. A lot of times people are like, I don't know what to do. Just be creative in the way that you have a relationship with him, like in your prayer time and your reading, and the Lord will speak to you, and he'll tell you exactly what you are supposed to be doing, and giving to you in your divine calling with tender humility and quiet patience. That's what God wants us all to have, a part of him. Jesus was so gentle, and he was totally, I know, humiliated, but he was so humble when he was being questioned and attacked. And that teaches us all a lesson how to be. And he was just trusting in the Father that no matter what, he was going to get him out of that situation. But we should always be demonstrating gentleness and generous amounts of love towards others and each other, especially towards those who may try your patience, because we know it's not easy. Yeah. But be faithful to guard the sweet harmony of the Holy Spirit among you and the bonds of peace. Isn't that something? How God wants us to be faithful towards him and to guard what he has given us. Not only just trust him, but guard that. Hold on to it. Don't let anybody talk you out of it and steal from you what God has placed in your heart. And keep it in the bonds of peace, because being in one body, we all are in his one body, and we all are one spirit, as you were all called into the same glorious hope of divine destiny. For the Lord God is one, and so are we, for we share in one faith, one baptism, one Father, and he is the perfect Father who leads us all. So trust him with all your might, even unto death. You got to put that in you right now. Lord, no matter what, even unto the death, I'm going to trust you. Who knows? He may turn around, relent, and leave a blessing behind. I'm sure he will.
That's right.
But trust God. Right, Brother T?
That's absolutely right. And you know, and you hit it. You hit the nail on the head. It's hard for people to trust in the Lord, that for many reasons. And one of the reasons is, like you said, one of the reasons is because they lean to their own understanding. And it's written that we should not lean to our own understanding. And you read the scripture in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust not, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding. I can really understand how people in the world don't trust God. I can understand it. And it's simple. The reason that they don't trust the Lord is because, like you said a little earlier, they don't know him. You don't want to trust someone you don't know. They don't know him. The world doesn't know Jesus. Therefore, they have no trust in him. If the world would just try to know Jesus, if they just try to know him, then the Holy Spirit would work in their lives and give them faith, which is trust.
Wow.
It's trust in God.
Wow.
Faith is trust. All the world have to do is hear the word, really hear it. I mean really truly hear the word. Then faith comes, as it is written in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So faith cometh by hearing. That means it continually comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The people of the world has to hear the word. But for the Christian, well, we already have faith. We have faith and trust in God, or we should have it. That's the key. We should have it because it's necessary for we, all of us as Christians, to have faith so that our faith needs to increase and become strong faith the more we hear the word, read the word, and study his word. Most Christians have experienced God for themselves. Most, I bet a lot of people that are listening right now that are true Christians have had an experience of some kind with God for themselves. They have tested the goodness of the Lord, even if it's in a very small way. That should still be enough for all Christians to trust him. Even if you had a very small experience, even if something very small happened to you, that alone is still enough for you to trust in God. But still, even many Christians have a hard time totally trusting him. And that's a fact. A lot of Christians have a hard time. Why? Because most of us are impatient. Impatient, and I think you talked about that. Most of us are impatient. That's another reason why people don't trust God. We have a lack of patience. We need patience in this hour because that's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, or long-suffering, or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. So long-suffering, forbearance, or patience is what we lack in this hour, in this generation. And all of that comes from the Holy Spirit. It all comes from the Holy Spirit because the fruit of the Spirit is the characteristics of God himself. It is all a part of who God is. Yes, and he gives
that
to us. We must understand that patience is one of the ways we will defeat Satan. Our faith produces patience during these evil times. As it's written in Revelation 14, verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, you will find the use of the word trust more so than the word faith. Just check it out. When you read in the Old Testament, most of the time it's trust in the Lord. That's because to trust the Lord is to have faith in him. It actually means the same when you're talking about having faith in God. It means to trust him. In most cases, the New Testament uses the word faith, while in the Old Testament, the word trust is used. But it means the same. It's the same thing. Like I said, there are many reasons why people don't trust God, and fear is another reason. Why? Because fear often, I'm going to tell you what fear does. It often makes people lose their trust in the Lord. And this goes for Christians. Fear often makes people lose their trust in the Lord. When people are afraid, they will reach out to anything or anyone just to feel safe. Or you simply take matters into your own hands. You go too fast. You take matters into your own hands. You panic and you go. Taking matters into your own hands without the counsel, advice, instruction, or directions, or wisdom and the knowledge of the Lord. You go. You just go.
That's true.
Which makes you find yourself in a bad situation when you do that. Many people put their trust in riches and material things, which is not a good thing to do. It's written in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, living high-minded, nor trust in certain riches, but in the living God. Trust in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Don't put your trust in mankind as well, as it is written in Psalm 146, verse 3. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man. Now, they're talking about mankind, in whom there is no help, because all of these things fade away, but the Lord is forever. Many people get sidetracked and carried away by diverse lusts, which makes them either lose their trust in God or prevent them from having trust in God. But let it not be so with you. Listeners here today that's listening to us, let it not be so with you. I advise you to trust in the Lord and in the power of his might. I encourage you to do as the scripture says that Pastor Tosila quoted earlier, and I quoted it, and I'm going to quote it again. Proverbs 3, 5. This time I'm going to go Proverbs 3, chapter, verse 5 through 10. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Great blessings are in store for those who truly trust in the Lord. The scripture goes on to say, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be help to your navel and marrow to your bones. Honor the Lord with your substance, with the first fruits of all your increase. So shall your barns be filled. You see, when you're a giver, God blesses that, and you never lose. You're never without. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Don't lose out on great blessings. Trust in the Lord. Trust in him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
that's it for our TNT moment. And as I had promised you guys, we were going to come right back with the with our special guest, and we're back. So we're going to go ahead and introduce our special guest, which is an old dear friend of ours. We've been knowing him for quite some time now, our friend Samuel L. Jackson. Hello there, Samuel. How are you today, man?
Good evening, Pastor T. Meyer and Pastor Tosila. It is a pleasure.
Okay.
Good evening, everyone listening.
Yes.
Amen.
How are you?
Yes. I am doing well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for the invitation and blessing to all of the Christian Talk Radio listeners this evening.
Mm-hmm.
I am so honored. I am so honored to be given the invitation to be able to speak with you guys this evening. And I suppose Pastor T. Martin may just have a couple more quick words, and then we'll get right into the message that I believe the Lord has placed on my heart and in my spirit to share this evening.
I'll
turn it back over to you for just a moment. Yes, Pastor.
Yeah, I'm going to tell the people a little bit about you, Samuel, okay?
Very well.
Samuel is a man of God, a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's a minister of the Most High God, and you will witness that tonight. Mm-hmm. He is a proud husband and blessed to be married to his wife, Shirley Jackson, for almost 40 years this coming September. That's pretty good. Together, they have four children, one boy and three girls. They are also proud grandparents to one 9-year-old girl and a 2-month-old boy, with a third grandchild, a girl, that's due in June. Samuel and his wife have lived in Riverside, California since 1985. He is originally from, check this out, Pastor Tasila, he's originally from Chicago, but came to California in 1980 while in the military. He has been walking with the Lord since 1982. He is watchful, he's alert, and ready to share the word of God wherever the opportunity presents itself. So, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce to you, and let us all welcome my dear friend, Samuel L. Jackson.
Yay! Yes!
Good evening. Yay! Good evening. Thank you for such kind words and acknowledgement, Pastor T. I truly appreciate it. To God be the
Amen.
Glory. Yes.
Amen.
If I may, I would just like to lead in, of course, with prayer in honor to God. And if you would allow and give permission, I will go ahead and do that, and we'll get started.
Yes, absolutely.
Father God, our Lord and Savior, we say thank you. Thank you for this opportunity for us to just pause for a moment and to worship you and to honor you and to give you praise for all things. We thank you, Lord, that we have this time to share with one another, to love on one another, and to get insight about you, your word, your loving son. We thank you, Lord, for who you are, that you sit on high and that you are in control of all things. I pray, Lord, that you would just give me peace right now. Give me patience and understanding, that my word that I share is thy word that is to be given to your people, Lord. Use me that way, Lord. And as always, I pray for those that are less fortunate than myself, Lord. I just ask that you would give them peace, give them patience and understanding as well. In Jesus' mighty name, I do pray. Amen.
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 Amen. Good evening, everyone, and this word that I will be sharing with you this evening, you're going to really have to, with all due respect, just kind of trek along because it's going to come to you by way as one would define as a parable.
Mm-hmm.
This word starts with this sort of parable phrase: love reality. I'll say it again: love reality. Now, it's pretty interesting that several times we have been reminded of the scripture, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And the irony is that that is also within the message this evening to a degree. Now, as we all know, a parable is not necessarily for everyone's understanding. As a matter of fact, it said that the average person cannot understand or comprehend the Bible, which is a spiritual book, and he or she needs to get saved, meaning born again, and ask that the Holy Spirit for understanding and spiritual discernment of the scripture. So again, love reality may come to you guys in your spirit somewhat as a parable. I'm going to be making reference to a couple of scriptures, but before I do begin, I just want to share that I am mindful that I am a guest. You know, you invite someone over, you want them to enjoy, but you don't want them to take over. So I will be mindful of and be respectful that as a guest, I will keep this to a respectful amount of time, hopefully within 10, no more than 15 minutes, and the message should be received, I believe.
Just take your time. Just take your time.
Thank you.
Go ahead and
thank
don't
you,
worry
Pastor.
About it. Yeah.
I appreciate it. Okay. Let's start by going to a story within the book of John. In the book of John, chapter 21, verse 23. John 21:23. And as a matter of fact, let's do this here. Let me go just a little bit ahead of that so that we can lay some context. All right. Let's go with John 21:15-17. This is going to put the love reality message within its perspective. In reading from the New King James Version, John 21:15 reads, "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' Verse 16, he said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' And he said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' Verse 17, he said to him a third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Now Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" Moving to verse 23, and this is really going to put it in somewhat of a perspective of love reality. Verse 23, "Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple," I apologize.
Samuel, you might have hit the mute button. I think he may have hit the mute button. Samuel, can you hear us?
Well, let's just play something and then we'll be back, see what happens.
Yeah, it seemed like he got disconnected, actually. So that's no problem at all. We'll be right back. And wait a minute, I think he's here.
That's Pastor Pete, can you hear me?
Samuel?
Yeah,
somehow
connection
go ahead.
Dropped, but I'm back on. I apologize, everyone. All right. Again, mm-hmm. We're in the book of John, chapter 21, and we're reading, I am reading now, verse 21, and Peter seeing him, again, the disciple that the Lord loved, and Peter seeing him said to Jesus, "But Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me." Verse 23, then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? One of the things I wanted to point out in relationship to that, because if you notice, I mentioned that it is love reality, not the reality of love. Love reality. That is the message. And so I wanted to make sure that the conversation that Jesus had with Peter is not misunderstood, because when Jesus told Peter that if it was his will that the man remain till he come, what was that to him? And the word went out and said that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus never said he wouldn't die. Jesus said that if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? In essence, don't worry about the other man. Worry about your relationship with the Lord. The Lord's will be done. So let that not be a misinterpretation of love reality to suggest that it was meant to be reality of love. That's not what the message was. Now, with that, I want to just kind of switch gears real quickly, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 through 23. But I'm not going to read all of the scripture, just put it in context. Basically, this is where the Lord is explaining to the disciples as to why he speaks in parables. Okay, and we'll just drop in on chapter 13. In verse 9, it reads, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." He that have ears to hear, let him hear. Love reality, if I may, is something that just came to me by way of a passing thought, preparing for recent services that I were going to be attending for my mom that recently passed away. And I didn't quite understand what that passing thought was actually relating to love reality. And so I paid it no mind. I went back to Chicago to attend the services, and love reality just kept revisiting my spirit, just the phrase itself. And as I sat and watched the visitors go up and pay last respects to my mom, an answer came from me. Now, each of you may receive love reality, and what does that actually mean? How am I to receive that? What is that supposed to mean for me personally? And so, as I stated, you know, the Lord speaks in parables for those that have an ear to hear. So I suspect the summation of love reality may have a different connotation for each of you, but I'm going to share with you what it had for me and has for me. As I watched those that passed my mom's casket and, you know, paid their last respects, I felt this I felt this gunk in my spirit. I felt my spirit was saying to me, just look, just watch. And not just at the services, but the whole time that I would be back there visiting with the family and loved ones. And it really became a reality of what love looks like from others. I saw old friends that I hadn't seen for about 40-something years that came out and paid respect to my mom and my family, and I was able to witness my nieces and nephews and my sisters and brothers. My mom passed having 12 children, 62 grandchildren, and 51 great-grandchildren.
Whoa.
And visiting and seeing the love that was shared amongst all that was there really spoke to a reality about love to me. And so I wanted to share that word with you guys this evening. I wanted to share the, I suppose, again, the parable that I felt within my spirit prior to going to the services. And I witnessed love reality in its purest form of demonstration of just everyone being together and not necessarily solely for the purposes of the services and a going home celebration of my mom, but also for everyone loving on each other in their own special way, and to be able to witness it from afar, no conversation, no direction, no program, just a natural way of expressing and spending time together. And so I'm hopeful that this word has been a blessing, that it has some meaning, and that you're able to maybe ponder love reality for yourself and in your lives and with your loved ones, that it blesses your spirit to go on and share with others. Remember again, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, lean not to your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know, and it's a word also in Proverbs chapter 4, and it's verse 7, the B part, and it says, and in all your getting, get understanding. So for love reality, get the understanding that the Lord would have you receive from that particular phrase and that parable. Thank you again for allowing me to share that with you guys. I am, again, so honored and blessed to be part of the Christian Talk Radio services this evening. And, again, to Pastor T. Meyer and Tasila, thank you both again for the invitation. May the Lord be with
you. Oh, you are so welcome. And our deepest condolences regarding your mom. And thank you for that beautiful word, because that word, you're talking about something that is a reality that's inside, a flame that burns for each other, that, you know, is overlooked, a flame that's overlooked, that we kind of come together and then we see and feel each other at a certain time. But that is most important thing in the world, is that we love each other.
And
that depth of love, so sorry it had to come from death to bring it to the surface.
Well, thank you, Pastor Tasila. And, you know, if I may, I'm just going to share that, you know, the passing of my mom came right on the heels of, you know, and again, I am so honored and I am so blessed that God has given me the peace in it of understanding that it's just the other side of life, and I've been able to accept and receive that very early on in my walk. And the passing of my mom actually came on the heels of a sibling, a sister and a brother, passing 2.5 weeks apart just 3 weeks before my mom. And, you know, it has a lot of meaning of love reality when three loved ones, and this is the first loss of our family of 12 siblings, if you will, that we lost our sister the day after Christmas from the COVID virus. And then 2 weeks later, mm-hmm. we lost our brother for the same, with the same, from the COVID virus. And then my mom, she had already taken ill, but she was placed in hospice. And 16 days of being in hospice, and then she passed on as well. And you know, there's a lot of, if you will, of, you know, can I catch my breath? Can I reflect? But to God be the glory, you know, that there's some peace in it, and there was peace in being able to understand and accept this reality, again, many, many years ago, that it's a part of life, and that, you know, we're to, you know, be able to, you know, accept it and live with it. Not to say there's no sorrow and sadness by no stretch, excuse me, but truly I'm at peace, and I'm the second oldest of the 12, and so there's quite a few of them, you know, underneath me, if you will, that look up and forward and say, you know, how and what shall we do? And I thank God for the blessing of the Spirit to be able to comfort and share. And then for those that are listening tonight that may have similar sadness on their hearts, just know that, you know, God is love, and love reality mm-hmm. will reveal itself to you. It will comfort you. It will guide you. It will keep you. And, you know, to lose your mom, to lose your mom is a loss that is one that you just can't imagine ever being without. But, you know, as life goes on, you know, the Lord has given to us a present, and the Lord has requested the present to come back with him. And so we're grateful and thankful that the gift of life and time spent with mom and my sister and my brother was time that I always cherish and thank the Lord for. So I just wanted to share that, again, being respectful of my time and my invite. Thank you all for giving me the opportunity to share with you.
We're glad that you shared that with us, because from my understanding, even with everything that you said, it's very, very plain and simple. The love reality is the action, the act. It's not just words, but it's the action.
Amen.
Showing love. And that speaks louder than saying, I love you. You know, a lot of people say that, and some people use it lightly. However, there are some people that truly mean it. When they say they love you, they really do love you. And
that's
some
right.
people just use it, you know. And the Lord is wanting us to not just use the word, but really act it. You know, if you're going to love
yes.
somebody, truly love them, you know, because
yes.
Actually with the work that God is going to do in this hour, love plays a big part in it. And it's required for us to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. Well, who is our
yes.
neighbor? Our family, our friends, even strangers. We can be neighbor to a stranger.
Yeah.
Love them
yes.
as yourself. And he's telling you to do that. Don't just say it, but do it, you know.
Amen.
And many
Amen.
People will, and many people will know that we are of God when they see that we have love one for another. And that's the key. And that's what the world is missing, man. To be truthful, the world is missing love. They haven't seen full, pure, true love. You know, God is about to show forth a full expression of his love. Like when Jesus walked the shores of Galilee, he was showing the full expression of God's love toward the people. You know, he didn't interview anybody. You know, he didn't see if they qualified for a healing or not. If they had a need and they came to him, he healed them. And, you know, delivered them. You know, he was just showing the full expression of God's love. And that's the pattern that we have to follow. We have to show the full expression of his love. And we have to give it out freely. We receive it freely. We give it out freely. And God's love doesn't run out. Like you said, Samuel, you said God is love. And it's scripture. He is. He's love.
Amen.
So if you have love in you, then you have God in you. Because God is love. You know, and we have to give that. We have to give that.
That's right.
You know, when I was introducing you, I noticed that in the introduction, you have been walking with the Lord since 1982. Mm-hmm. And how did that happen? How did you come to know the Lord?
Well, thank you for asking. I'd be more than happy to share. In 1980, when I joined the military, in boot camp, I was a Marine Corps. I was a Marine in the Marine Corps, stationed in San Diego, California, MCRD, for boot camp. And at the time, there were only services either Catholic or Protestant on the base. And so on Sunday, you either went to Catholic service or you went to Protestant service. But to get away from the monotony of it all that you go through, you know, on a daily basis in boot camp training, it was the only peace. And the only peace was to get away from, you know, all the training and the hooping and hollering, if you will. And so I went to the services, and, you know, I just kept on feeling something different. Mm-hmm. Can't explain exactly what the difference was, but it was peace, that's for sure. And upon graduation and getting to my duty station after leaving engineer school, 1982, I was at a very difficult point of relationship and in life in general, taking on responsibilities of a husband, a military man, and a career, if you will. One night, 1982, I'm going to say that was the year, that was the night that I had what I refer to as my spiritual awakening. I witnessed, and no one can ever change my belief as such, I witnessed the glory and the power of the Lord. I saw and felt the Lord's presence. And I was froze in front of the mirror in the bathroom after getting out of the shower, and the glory of the Lord was all over me. And I was able to witness a power that words can do no justice for. And I remember standing in front of that mirror, and the Lord's Spirit came over me, and what was happening to me that I felt, that I believe to this very day, I looked away from the mirror to summon my wife that was asleep, that I couldn't say a word, I just looked away. and the glow of the Lord reflection over me in the mirror was just, I don't know what words to use to describe it, but I remember the experience like it was just 10 minutes ago. And on my chest, I have a tattoo of three letters, which is Sam, S-A-M, that was put on not by a professional tattoo artist, but when I was a teenager, like 15 years old, me and a friend of mine was in the back of a van in back of our home, and he had just learned how to do tattoos. And he took a needle and ink from an ink pen, and he just poked holes in my chest to form the letters. And in that vision, in the mirror, I remember the shame that I felt looking and standing before the Lord and being ashamed of the marking that I had put on my body maybe 15 years earlier. You know, maybe not even quite 15. It may have been 11 years earlier. But I remember taking my hands and wanting to wipe the tattoo away of the shame that I had marked my body with such sadness. And I was so ashamed to stand before what I witnessed to be the power and the glory of the Lord looking at me and knowing that he had created me, and that that should not have been part of what the Lord saw, because that's not what he gave me. And I actually saw, it appeared to be the blood in my veins running through my veins, flowing through my veins. It was such a powerful sight. And it was such a moment of God's presence and me acknowledging and witnessing that it was the Spirit of the Lord, and it came upon me and it rested on me. And from that night to this very conversation, I believe that no one can ever convince me otherwise that there is a true and living God.
Hallelujah.
And that's how I became a wanting to walk with the Lord and to get, you know, more knowing him. And over the years, from that period of time until I would say 95, it was a on again, off again walk. You know, the walk didn't have the consistency because there was a lack of relationship. There was a lack of communication. There was a lack of just being with the Lord, just listening to the Lord. And so I'm walking and stumbling. But it was very necessary to get me to where I am today, praise the Lord. And I remember that when I look back over the times when from 82 to, you know, there about 94, if you will, that each time that I look back at situations and times where I wasn't actually walking with the Lord as I should have been, the Lord was always still right there. And he reminded me each time that, and I share this often, that, you know, when you go astray and you get off track, with, if you will, with the Lord, is when you come back, you'll find that the Lord is in the same place he was when you walked away from him. When you left his presence, he's still in that same place. And when he comes back, he doesn't beat you down. He doesn't shame you. He just takes your hand and start walking with you again. And he reminds you that he's always there. He's always right there in the same place that he was when you walked away, when you went astray. And I thank the Lord for his faithfulness to always be there. And in that, you know, I've been involved in and out of different churches and pastors and tutoring under different pastor leaderships in that. And throughout those different teachings, I noticed that there was a time where when I really felt that I needed to be truthful to myself and my walk with the Lord, that I went on my own, if you will, and I studied, I fasted for the whole month of February, 28 days, every year for, I don't know, maybe 7 or 8 straight years, every February and every August, I would fast for the whole month, and all I would drink, all I would have is water, and I would have salad. And I did that for 28 days and studied my word from 6 o'clock in the evening until about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, every night. And then at the end of right at the 9:30, 10 o'clock hour, I would not drink any more water. I wouldn't eat anything until 6 o'clock the next evening. And you're talking about a cleansing of your body. This came out of one of the pastors that I was teaching or being taught under that had the 14-day Daniel fast every January. And one incident, and I'll kind of make this short and sweet, one incident happened as an usher at that church where we were, again, every January we were going a 14-day fast. And between services, one of the parishioners came in, and one of the members on the usher board, as we were gathering at the back of the church where everyone comes in, said to the parishioner, "Oh, wow, your disposition, if you will, for lack of a better term to use, is all screwed up. You know, like, you know, are you fasting?" And the way the conversation kind of went between the two of them, I was wondering, or I thought, are we fasting because it is the Lord's will and that's what the Lord would have us do to prepare ourselves for the year? Or is it something that the pastor wants us to do? And at that point, it was probably the third year in at that particular church, and it was just a natural thing. But that conversation kind of threw me for a curve. And there were, you know, messages from the pulpit that as an usher standing on the floor of several services throughout the day on Sunday, you'll hear the same message for the most part, maybe 4 or 5 times throughout that year being repeated. And so you would know what the pastor was going to say next, especially if it was going to be tethered to some sort of humor. And a lot of it was, I suspect, it, with all due respect, was just a little uncomfortable for some of the people. But, you know, you support the pastor and you kind of chuckle and go along with it, but it would probably be, you know, messages that could have been better saved for a different time instead of coming from the pulpit. And so with that, I thought, well, I don't know, are we doing this for the pastor or are we doing this for the Lord? And so that one year I said, I'm not going to fast for 14 days with the church. I started my fasting February 1, and I went into prayer. And I said, Lord, if I am to remain here under this teaching, then let me know. And if not, Lord, let me know. And every night I studied, I prayed, and I fast that first year. And in the end, the Lord say, let's go. Now, what was key in that was the Lord didn't say, you can go. The Lord said, let's go, which to me said that the Lord wasn't staying there himself. And so when I did that, I went on my own, and I started, you know, having radio ministry. You know, there's a lot of value in Christian talk radio. So just hear this word now. And I, you know, started gathering what was necessary. So they call it a treasure chest. You know, there's four or five translations of the Bible, the New King James Version, the NIV, the American translation. There's two concordants. There's four dictionaries. There's three atlas. And there's other study material that goes with it. And so as I was studying, I'm researching commentaries, and I get to a word in a scripture, and, you know, I got to break it down to get that clarity and understanding. And I did that again for probably about 5 or 6 years. I went in fellowship with a men's group at several different churches that were being advertised on the Christian talk radio station here in California. Calvary Chapel Ministries. My library of books grew upwards of about 100 books, to which I've read them all. And I was just blessed in my spirit and my knowledge. And you know, as I said earlier, and all you're getting, get understanding, because without understanding, it's my belief, it's just mere ignorance. And so I studied, I learned, and I shared. And so, you know, this opportunity to come and share the word by way of invitation was another blessing. And so that's how I came to walk with the Lord.
Beautiful, man. So then when you came to the Lord, you were already married when you had that experience, right?
That is true.
So how did your wife react?
Okay. Now, when I shared with her after my composure or the spirit, you know, the spirit won't lay on you forever. It'll just let you know that he is there. There's no doubt about that, you know, but he'll always be within you. But the experience of it, the presence of his, of the spirit, when it left, I felt like it was something that I wanted to share. I wanted to share with my wife, and I wanted her to see it. And she just said, you know, as I woke up, she said, I may have been, you know, feeling a way. And but she said, you know, she could see it. She could see it all over me, you know. You know, she was just so, I guess, grateful and felt blessed that I had that experience.
You know, Samuel, you are what we call a witness to yourself that
Amen.
God is real. Nobody can ever take that from you.
No.
When
no,
you
right.
see things, and when you have, we love experiences, because that's when you know God is real, when he makes himself known to you personally. And that is the best way. And it's not just for a special people. That's for everybody, whosoever will, whoever, you know, and some, like what happened to you, it happened out of nowhere. You didn't say, Lord, touch me, or I'm praying, and Lord, come and feel. It just happened.
No.
I love that about the Lord. When you least expect it, you're elected. And I've heard so many stories like that of people washing their face, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit coming so strong upon them, and the voice of the Lord, that voice you can't deny, starts speaking to you. And telling you things that only you can only write them down and be a witness to it. And that's what God is doing now. He's making himself real. We talk about Jesus all the time like he died on a cross and he's gone. But they forget about he was resurrected and he's alive right now. And he says, well, two or three are together. I am in the midst of you. He's on his phone with us right now. He's listening. I love what you said when he said, let's go. I told the Lord one time, I said, Lord, I don't want to be in a church that you're not in. He said, I don't want to be in there either. Me neither.
Yes.
So I get it. I understand 100% of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. If the Holy Spirit is not there, and that's what it is with a lot of people. If you're in a church, you're just going because it's like become a glee club. All your friends are there. You go to lunch and dinner afterwards, and you meet up together. If it's just that, but you really don't know what happened when someone says, well, what was the service about? You cannot tell them one thing. So nothing changed. Mm. You have to be going from glory to glory. You got to be having some Holy Ghost infiltration and change, transformation has to take place with Christianity. It's not a I do and stop and now you're in. It doesn't go like that. It's a relationship that you have with the Lord that must grow. If not, if it's dormant and stagnant and you're not growing,
Say that word.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That is so true, growth. If you're not growing, then, you know, I mean, with all due respect, you're not going anywhere.
That's true.
I really love that. The Lord has to be. And you have to do a check. You can't, because sometimes you can be marching in place and just keeping time but not moving.
Mm-hmm.
You must move because God is always on the move. He's not stagnant, and he's always moving. And you must move also. You shouldn't be the same person you was last year. You shouldn't be the same person you was in January because we're headed towards March now. You should always be growing in Christ consistently. And a lot of times, you know, people are like, well, I said I am a Christian, I'm saved, but then you're not having a relationship.
Mm.
And then but you're doing works. You're at the food bank. And you're moving around.
Right.
Your righteousness is that you go to church every Sunday. That's not it. That is not it. And God is going to change that. He has us on here talking because he wants to change that. It should be a dying to self relationship with Christ. Those things have to be in place. And I know a lot of Christians who are walking, and they have given up everything, like Jesus said, that we must do, you know. Let it all go. You'll get it back.
Amen.
We're here from experience. Let it all go. Because to me, nothing is worth losing your soul.
Amen.
And even Jesus talks about that. When he says, what availeth a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? And when sometimes I'm in prayer and the Lord comes upon me, I'm like, Lord, there is nothing in this earth greater than this, than him. Mm-hmm. I'm serious. Mm-hmm. Nothing is greater than the Spirit of the Lord and him being in your life and guiding you and directing you. I'm so happy that you're on here because you are making Christianity a reality.
Well, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. You know, I guess that's the moral to the story, love reality.
You are making his love a reality. to all, to everyone. And
again, yeah, to God be that glory. He gives all the honor and all the praise.
And like I was saying, that experience that Brother Samuel had, that's not just for one person. The Lord would like to give an experience to all of you all, you know. He wants to make himself known to everyone, because you need to know you serve a living God, not a dead one. He's truly alive.
Yeah.
And the more we make Jesus a reality in our lives, the greater the walk and the more we can represent. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We should be seeing Christ in us.
Amen.
In all of us. That character and that flame of love of Christ coming from all of us. And
that is so
that's
true.
A reality. Oh, that was just got me fired up. So I love that. I love when God shows up. I do. I just love the reality of God. I don't like the pretense or the fake and the phony part.
No.
I love the reality because I know he's so real and he's made himself known to us. And it's not like we're just talking about the words in the book without knowing him. We have to know him and take time to have a cultivate a relationship with the Lord, you guys, because if you want God to say, I know you. You want him to say, hey, I love you. I know you.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But, you know, Samuel, do you you have any words of wisdom that you would like to give to our listeners out there, or even a prayer for them, everyone that's listening? Anything?
Sure. Thank you, Pastor T. Meyer. Word of encouragement, if I may. You know, each of us have something inside of us that I think we often visit and feel a way about it. You know, we're uncomfortable or we're thinking about. And I would encourage everyone that has, you know, something on their heart, you know, something in their past, something in their relationships, to just, you know, ask the Lord to give you peace, give you, you know, give you a sign, tell you, direct you, you know, tell you, answer that uncertainty, that curiosity. You know, ask the Lord to intervene. And true to form, I can guarantee you this, he will. And he has two angels that are right there waiting. Gabriel is the messenger. He will bring you the answer to your prayers. And if there's any need to get through the hard time to give you that answer, and Michael is there to do war, he will battle through, that Gabriel will bring you that message. It's not just a story in the Bible. There's the Archangel Gabriel. He's the messenger. And then there's the Archangel Michael, that if the word of God needs to get through by force, Michael will do his job. And you just pray and ask the Lord, give me peace with it. But most of all, give me understanding. And the Lord will do that. But you got to ask him. And in your asking, you got to believe. He's going to answer your prayer. Don't ask and just hope. You know, there's a saying that I have in my office on my monitor, a little sticky note, that says a goal without a plan is just a wish. A prayer without faith. A prayer without faith is nothing but a word, a conversation, a hope, an expectation. You know, you got to believe. You got to believe that the Lord is going to hear your prayer, and not only hear it, he's going to answer it.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
And so be encouraged, no matter what, you know, no matter what it is, you know, just go in faith, ask the Lord to give you understanding, give you, you know, give you peace, but most of all, give you an answer. And again, I believe he will do that. And if there's a word of prayer that I can offer in my conclusion of the invite, I will just pray that, Lord, tonight has been a night of many views and comments and points of views, and some of it has been comforting and some of it has been eye-opening, Lord, but your people's hearts are heavy, Lord, and they're asking in a silent way, but you know their hearts, Lord. You're knowing their wills, and you're knowing their desires and their needs. And I would just pray, Lord, that as you've always done, even with me, Lord, that you've given answers, you have comfort, and you've been faithful to love and to love all that have sinned, to have forgiven all that have sinned. And I just ask, Lord, that those that are speaking in the silent voice, but loudly in their inner spirit, in their hearts and in their minds, Lord, that you would give them that comfort, that you would speak to them, that you would show them a way. I pray, Lord, that their peace tonight as they sleep will be met with the angels of joy, knowing that they've heard a word from you.
Yes.
That, Lord, you would just bless them, bless their loved ones, watch over and protect them, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, I do pray. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful. Beautiful. Pastor Tosila, do you have any last-minute words?
Yeah,
for our
I want to tell the audience that if they have anything that they want to ask, any questions, they can go to christianrtalk@gmail.com and send your questions to us. Also want to say that christiantalkr@gmail.com. And I also want to say is that the only way to see the Father is for the Father to see Jesus in you. We must allow Jesus to have his way in his temple. We are the temple of the Lord, and we must cultivate our King within. And when you get to the kingdom, all the Father wants to see is his Son in us. And I want to tell the people, thank you for listening from all over the world. God bless you. And keep your eyes up, your head up. Your redemption is drawing nigh. So keep your head up.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, in case you don't know, you are listening to Christian Talk Radio with T. Meyer and Tosila and our special guest, Samuel L. Jackson. Such a blessing, and it's very important to Tosila and I that you guys are being lifted up, that you're learning, and that you're able to grow when you listen to Christian Talk. It's so important to us.
Mm-hmm.
So just like my wife had mentioned, christiantalkr@gmail.com, send us a message. Send us something. It's our email address. So send us something to let us know that you're listening. Let us know if we're a blessing to you, and because we surely appreciate all of you who are listening to the program. God bless you all. God bless you all. And remember, in this time, to show love, show the action of love. Don't just say it, but really love people, because the world really needs it now. Remember that song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love years
Amen.
Ago.
Amen.
Well, it's really true. It's really true. The world really mm-hmm. needs love. So we'll see you all next week at 8 p.m. Pacific time for Christian Talk. Check your time zone and dial in. Okay? God bless you all. Goodbye.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.